Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm ready.
One second.
I gotta be honest.
I mean, you should never lie.
I'm ready for the fall season.
You ready for the fall season?
There's something switched from yesterday to today.
I mean, yeah, it's like...
It's super gloomy.
You're always the one that says, we're not going to talk about the weather.
No, no, no. I just want to say this. Nobody wants to hear about the weather. That's like,
that's like
the worst small talk people can have.
I don't agree with that because I actually love talking about the weather.
Yeah, but it's like... Everybody loves to talk about the weather because...
Yeah, because it influences your life.
And also, too, that's the only thing that... you have in common with a total stranger. Not having
I guess,
in common,
yeah.
It's like we can both talk about how we feel about the sun today.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, it's a beautiful day out, or like, oh, it's, you know, so rainy.
Yeah, I hate that. Sometimes I get caught in the weather talk and I feel so cringe and I'm doing the thing.
Nah. And I love talking about the weather because it's so real.
No,
it's
always feel weird about it because
especially
then,
here.
No.
Because you're outside, you're not in the car.
Yeah. I catch myself sometimes when I'm having that talk, the weather talk. And after I'm done saying something about the weather, like, man, like last week it was so cold. Like, oh, did you get caught in the rain yesterday? Or earlier, it was crazy. And then as I'm saying these things to this total stranger, right? In my head, I'm like, oh, Yoni, I can't believe you just said that. You just walk away.
I think there are worse things than to be like, oh, don't talk about the weather.
But the funny thing is, they probably think the same thing and we're both doing it.
I don't think about it at all. When I'm talking about the weather to like a stranger or even to anyone, like I'm talking about the weather because the weather just impacts me so much. Think about it.
I don't like it that much, to be honest. I can acknowledge it, but we're not going to talk about...
Okay, well, we talked about it enough. We gave it 2 minutes worth of airtime. And here we are, you guys. Welcome back to the What's the Juice podcast. I am one of your hosts, Alia Zaita, in case this is your first time listening. I'm here with my lovely husband, if you didn't know.
Why? Tell the people why you say it that way.
What?
Why did you...
Enunciate it.
Enunciate the
H. No, because I don't know why for some reason every time I say like that I'm married or that I call you my husband, there's always somebody that's surprised. And there was always somebody that's like, what? I didn't know you guys were married.
That, but then there's also another reason.
What's the other reason?
That people keep saying that Alia will call me anything but her husband.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from. I call Yoni by his name because he is Yoni.
And also most of you know Yoni is.
Well, also, how many times am I going to say my husband? Like, here's my thing. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Her husband's name is Yoni Ikoto, and he happens to be your favorite host.
Yeah. The reason why,
tell us why
this is like a thing, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is because in my opinion, right, let's say you're meeting someone for the first time. Perfect example is when we're both like at a social gathering of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both like mingling in different corners of the room, so we're not together. And then at one point, you know, like the topic comes up where you say something like, oh yeah, my husband and I went to Japan and it was lovely and blah, blah, blah. You're telling a story or you're talking about something or you say like my husband and I went to New York 2 years ago, whatever it is. I say my husband and I like, or I say my husband maybe like tops five times, and then I'll say like Yoni, my husband. And once I say Yoni, and I basically say like my husband's name is Yoni, mm-hmm. from then on I will call him Yoni.
Yeah.
I will not call him my husband.
Yeah.
It's such a like it but makes so much sense to me. The same way it's like it would be I mention like a friend many times. I'll say like, oh yeah, my friend this, my friend that, and let's say like I keep telling the story. Except I don't have a friend that I would like it's not as consistent. Like, my husband is like, we live together, we spend so much time together. So there's so much, there's so many times I need to mention you when it comes to a story.
Yeah.
And I just feel like to say my husband each time is like, I'm going to, like, you're a person on your own. And I'm just going to say Yoni, my husband, and then call you Yoni. It's almost like, I don't know how to explain it.
I mean, I feel the same way with saying my wife. It's sometimes when I do say my wife multiple times, it feels like you just want to say you have wife.
I mean,
and there's nothing wrong with that, because I do.
But it's also like, okay, but what's her name though?
Yeah,
that's how I would feel if someone keeps saying my boyfriend or something, and they just say my boyfriend. I'm like, so what's their name?
Yeah, you have to say their name. I mean, I feel like it's not, especially if you know what their name is. Don't keep saying.
I mean, of course they know what their name is.
No, but I only, for example, right? Anything online, I always say Alia, because they know on my YouTube channel, I'll say Alia. I don't know, online.
Yeah, online I say Yoni also because, like, I don't know, I think.
But outside, like when I meet a stranger, I'm going to say my wife. I say that shit maybe once or twice.
And then I say
Alia. And yeah. That's it. Like, I can't go like this, right? Yes, my wife and I went to Japan and it was amazing. And then my wife went to a restaurant, and then I don't know. I'm trying to like.
No,
paint
I get
the
what
picture,
you mean, but
then like
the same
you
way.
Can't say my wife each time.
So exactly this.
It
thing
becomes
happened.
Like
this happened when I was on the train from Lisbon to south of Portugal to go to my retreat. So I was on the train by myself, and I ended up sitting next to one of the girls that was going to the culinary retreat with me. And I recognized her from like the email list, everybody's like profile, little bubble thing. And I was like, oh, are you going to the retreat? Yeah, whatever. And then we end up like talking for the entire train ride for like an hour. And it's funny because you met her at when we went to that wine bar.
Yeah.
The Madison, the girl that came later with the short hair.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Anyways.
Right.
So I like... She has a boyfriend, and then we were just talking about different things in our life, etc. And she kept saying, like, my boyfriend, my boyfriend, my boyfriend. And after a while, like, it just seemed interesting that she never said his name.
Damn.
You know, and then I was like, what's your boyfriend's name? And then she said, I can't remember what his name is. But then she was like, actually, yeah, I don't know why, like, I keep saying my boyfriend. Like, I could just tell you what his name is. And then... It's just interesting the way like people do that.
Well, maybe she's in a new relationship. And
no, they've
she's
been together
excited.
For like a year or something.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. I don't know. I just find that interesting. I do find it interesting if somebody says, like, it's weird to say, to use one of these terms, like my husband, my wife, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, whatever, to somebody that you... like they know who they are. Like I would never say my husband to someone who knows you.
People don't do that.
I've talked before.
People don't do that.
I don't know.
Today
think that's weird.
We have a special episode for you guys, and this is something that I've been looking forward to.
Yeah.
For a long time.
I haven't done a Q&A in a minute.
In a minute. I feel like the whole this season we haven't done one, obviously, but in season 3 also, I don't think we did one.
I think we definitely did one in season 3.
It might have been like early season 3.
Yeah, like, but also then we just did it one time.
Yeah.
So we're doing a Q&A. We have lots of questions from you guys.
We had to break this shit down into like 2 episodes.
Yeah. So we're going to do part 1, which is this, on the audio episode. Mm-hmm. And then part 2... it's going to be on Patreon. So we didn't like pick and choose which questions go on what. There's so many questions. So we're going to stop like, I don't know, halfway through the questions. I don't even know if we're going to get through all of them because there's a lot. Maybe we can like try to go really fast.
It depends also on how much we talk about each thing. So I would say so what you selected right there, is that all of them?
Yeah, wait, let me select to see how many we have, right? Like if I select all the way down... We have 117.
Okay, 117.
So should I select 50 right now and put them like in a folder?
117, and then on my phone, what I got, 117. So we basically have 130.
Okay, I'm going to select 50.
Yeah, just select 50 questions.
And then like put them in a separate thing, just real quick.
Okay, we're aiming for 50 questions today. Watch us do like 7 and just talk the whole time.
Okay.
Or like elaborate on each question.
And then
I'm
going
to like
this one to know this is the last one I added.
Are you making like a separate folder?
Yeah, I made a separate folder. Yeah.
We probably should have done that before we started recording.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. This is live on air right now. Okay. So do you want to read these or do I read these? You start and then we'll switch. Okay. Some might be repetitive. I don't know.
So I'm going to the top, right? Q&A.
I don't think it matters like which question you start with.
Okay. Question number one, do you think you live in New York long time and why? Think you live in New York long time and
okay,
why?
Okay, okay, okay.
That's what they say.
Okay, okay, okay. I mean, I'm not making fun of you guys or anybody because I know not everybody speaks English as their first language. So the question is, do you think you're going to live in New York for a long time?
Yes.
And why?
And why?
So
I want to go first.
Okay, you go.
And actually, let's keep in mind, let's go fast.
Okay, okay? You go.
I think we'll live in New York for a long time. Maybe
what's
not specifically, like
10
years.
10 more years.
Like 10 more years, right? Okay. And I don't think it may not be New York City. I see us living in like New Jersey. Jersey City. I almost said Jersey shitty. My bad.
The ESL is coming out.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to explore that area a little bit because I feel like it's Oh, actually, there's a list that came out just a couple of days ago.
Uh-huh.
Best states or cities to live in America. And
is it states or cities?
I can't remember. It's one of the two.
You sent it to me. It's states.
Oh, it's states?
Yeah.
But New Jersey
was like number three.
Was number three.
Yeah.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say anything?
I don't know. You sent it to me like late at night and then I forgot to say
anything about it. Yeah, New Jersey's number three.
Yeah.
And then you have like Massachusetts and then like Idaho, like Boise or like Idaho, some shit like that.
Okay.
So yeah, New Jersey's is up there. Okay. Don't sleep on New Jersey. And why I think we'll live in this area.
We love the East Coast.
Yeah, we love the East Coast.
And we love the Northeast.
And we love the Northeast.
Yeah, like I wouldn't live in like lower East Coast.
Like yeah.
Florida.
No.
What's
I can't
above
live Florida? In
Florida? Like Virginia. Yeah. Like I can't do any of that.
Yeah, no, I love Florida.
North Dakota.
Florida is beautiful. You've never been to Florida, but I love Florida. Like driving down the highway, like palm trees.
I feel like it's the type of place like I will visit, but I don't know if I would necessarily
It's amazing.
There.
Like Florida is, I like Florida.
Yeah.
And then I don't mind the West Coast, like LA, palm trees.
Yeah, I don't
like I can do either one.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're so East Coast. Okay, so what do you think?
So I kind of feel the same way. I would say if you go back a few, I don't know, like 6 months ago or something, and we have an episode where we're talking about. I have definitely on the podcast said before how I'm like, oh, New York forever, end game. And it's because, like, I do feel like I have to defend New York a lot, just in general in life as a choice to live here, even just now. And then the question always bothers me where people are just like, so where is next? Like, where are you going to go next?
As if
New York always
New
has
York...
an expiration date.
Yeah.
And I just, something about that irks me the wrong way. I don't even think you can be irked the right way. But yeah, it just bothers me for some reason that the assumption is that like you're only here temporarily. And something about that makes me want to make it work even more.
One thing about Alia, if you tell her if you doubt her,
I will show you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm definitely the kid that like someone tells me I can't do something, I will do it.
Yeah. And then why do you want to be here longer?
Well, I love living in New York. Like yeah. if I had to, I think this is one of the questions, but somebody was like, where else would you live in New York if you were, where else would you live in the US if there were a place? And I'm like, I have nothing.
New Jersey.
I mean, okay, you can, I haven't been to New Jersey, so like, I don't know. Same. I know that you can live in Jersey City or like in Hoboken or something, and that's super close to New York City.
Yeah, that's like.
It's like a. You know, you can get into the city with like the train and stuff, but I haven't experienced that to say. I think that's maybe without even going there, that's like the next place I would consider in terms of like, you know, taxes and, you know, like sort of, you know, it could be a little bit cheaper to live there compared to New York City, obviously. But yeah, like no place screams to me or says anything to me in any way in the US.
Yeah, to me it's either New York City or Jersey City.
I mean, you haven't been, so you don't really know yet.
I haven't been, but I heard a lot of great things, and it seems so... And I only say that because it's so close to New York.
Yeah, it is so close
to New York. You know what I mean? Okay, so we're going to go to the next question.
Yeah.
When are you going to do an NYC meetup? I'm an out-of-towner here, so please announce early. When are we going to do an NYC meetup? I think the NYC meetup is going to be very, very fun.
I think we should do it when we come back, like fall time.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to do it. We couldn't do it this summer because there was a lot going on. We did other
meetups. I totally even forgot that that's something that we wanted to do. Because no, we know, like, since we've done the meetup, like, traveling, we felt a little bit bad because we've never done one here. But there's something about, like, doing one where you live that feels like, why are you doing one here?
No, I don't think so. Because we have listeners here. And yeah, actually, I feel like we have a lot of listeners here.
Yeah, I guess I had no idea.
Yeah, I would love to do one. Definitely, we're going to make it like a fall vibe. We'll try to do it before it gets real cold.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to do one. I think a good place to meet up would be Central Park.
Yeah.
Somewhere. And that'll be so fun.
We should do it like early October, maybe.
Early October.
Second week of October or something.
Okay.
We'll think about it.
And I just want to connect with the people who are listening to us, supporting us, and they live here. I love doing it. And you've gotten... You know.
Yeah, I'm not as scared of it anymore.
Yeah, you're not scared of it anymore.
Yeah, so. I was like very intimidated by the idea of a meetup before, but not anymore. So. Yeah.
So far for WTJ, the official meetups, we have Lisbon and we have Copenhagen. I'm so grateful that we can go to another country and do a meetup there and people actually come.
Yeah, true. We should have done one in Japan, but we didn't think. I mean, there's too much going on.
Yeah, next time we go to Japan, don't worry, guys. We will do one in Japan.
Okay, next question.
Next question. What is your main learning? What are your main learning and tips for true confidence? What is your journey in that aspect?
Okay. Do you want to answer? The way I read it
was weird, right? What are your main learning and tips for true confidence?
Yeah.
And what are your
Okay, so how are you confident basically? Like, what did you learn to be confident? Do you have any tips and tricks to be confident?
Yeah. You know, sometimes when you read something, you know what they're trying to say, but when you read it, it wasn't worded the way you know the question's supposed to be said.
Yeah, no, I get it. And also, like, on Instagram, it's hard to, like, write because you have a limit amount.
Oh, right. That's why, it tricks me. Okay.
Yeah, so how are you confident? Just answer, how are you confident?
I think...
What makes you confident, would you say? What are the things in your life?
What makes me confident? That's kind of like a simple question, but it's kind of hard to answer.
Okay, I'm going to answer. I think what makes me just confident is having tried a lot of things. And that has helped me realize like what I like and what I don't like. Because I think in order to be confident, you have to have a level of like... of knowing yourself in the sense like you need to know what you like from like, I don't know, music to books to food to fashion to like there shouldn't be question marks around the things that you like and the things that you don't like.
Yep. She said exactly what I wanted to say. I feel like I know myself.
Yeah.
I truly know myself. And when you know yourself, you kind of like don't, I'm saying the same thing. You're saying you don't question other things really. Like I don't really care too much about like if I want to wear something, for example, and then someone tells me that they don't like shirts like that, like it does nothing to me.
It used to for me,
it goes over my head. Like,
yeah. No, I totally get that. And I think it's part of it. On a simple level, it's like the things that I listed, but then there's also something to be said about like emotional awareness and kind of like, I think if you work on yourself on an emotional level and a mental level where like you're working on, you know, maybe your patience, maybe your work-life balance, you're going to the gym, you're like actively bettering yourself in a lot of the aspects that, you know, make a person, your relationships with your family, mm-hmm. your relationships with your friends, you know, learning around these things and knowing yourself. Like, I think when you work on yourself, you know, things that you like, it's like that, and that like creates a certain level of confidence within a person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so I
when
think,
you're working on your skills, when you're bettering, like overall bettering yourself on the inside, but then also knowing the things that you like, the things that you're into. Like if you're meeting someone for the first time, can you confidently talk about not necessarily like yourself, but in the way yourself?
But you have to have...
Not in an ego, like narcissistic way.
No. But you have to have something to say.
Yeah.
Which means that in your life, you have to put in the work to be active in your own life.
Exactly. And I think that that will exude confidence, like without you even realizing like, oh, I'm confident.
Yeah. Great. Next question. What do you do to feel less pressure and overwhelmed? Love your channel.
Well, it's funny you say that because earlier this morning I was feeling pressure and overwhelmed.
Yeah, well, so I think...
What do I do? I kind of need to like almost hit things, but then I don't.
Well, I feel like this question is actually good for you because this is something that I feel like you still need to figure out.
I am still working on that. That's one thing I'm not confident in.
Yeah. And
it depends. I feel like because right now we are on the... We have a lot going on because we're about to leave for a trip. So we're recording a bunch of episodes. Like we've been recording for the last like week and a half, almost every single day. And on top of that, you know, like editing videos and filming videos. And then right before we leave for a trip, we always just have a lot of things to do. So because of that, it's kind of like unavoidable that I will feel overwhelmed a little bit. But on a day-to-day basis, I think I've gotten a lot better, especially with, you know, taking like things one day at a time.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm just naturally not stressed much.
Yeah. Which causes me stress sometimes.
Which could be a good or a bad thing to Alia. Mm. To me, it's a good thing that I don't get like there's pressure, but I don't feel stressed about that pressure.
Hmm.
And it also just depends, like deadlines for certain things. But generally, just to answer the question, I've kind of always been pretty chill. Even when there is pressure, I'm the one to say, like whatever group I'm in or whoever I'm with, I'm like, let's just take a deep breath and let's do. Think the first step, what we got to do to attack this, because you can't avoid what you got to do.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, let's do first step, then the second step, third, because that's all you can do anyways.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think like
let's do one thing.
The biggest learning for me, even though I still sometimes, like today, I was having a hard time actually applying this. I was even telling Yoni that I'm so frustrated and like my mind feels like it's a big tree with a bunch of branches and my attention keeps going to like all the branches and it goes like beep, 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 and it can't stop.
Yeah. And you didn't even know which branch to hold on to and start working.
Yeah. Like I felt like I couldn't choose which branch to like my energy to go into and like have it bloom over there for a little bit and then go into another branch.
I think once the podcast stuff is out of the way, you'll feel much better.
I think it's also, it's just like a specific time right now where all the branches need energy, you know, what I mean? And you just don't have enough, but yeah.
Okay, next question. How do you deal with guilt from moving away from your family?
Do you want to answer this? Especially, guilt. I think like, lately, because Yoni's sister, we have two nieces now.
Yes.
Yoni's sister and her partner now have two girls.
Beautiful girls.
And we haven't met the baby that's been now born since, I think, March.
Yeah.
And we haven't gone back to Seattle. We were in Seattle.
Wait, March?
No? Or May? Oh, sorry, May.
Yeah.
The first is in March. Okay, so it hasn't been like that long, but still, we haven't been back in Seattle since January, and we're planning on going in the fall for Thanksgiving.
Around the holiday season.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot of traveling, and also Seattle's quite far, but I think you express a certain level of guilt at times when it comes to being away.
Yeah, because especially with my sister, because we're so close, I always wanted our kids, we don't have kids yet, but I wanted... Whoever's going to have kids first, I wanted to be the uncle to like pull up to the house, take the kids out to eat, pick them up from school, go to the park with them. I wanted to be there, see them grow. And then also just them knowing this is Uncle Yoni.
Yeah. And then them also growing up with like their cousins too.
Exactly. So that's something that I'm still like, you know, it's, you know, we live in different parts of the country. And that's just something that I, who knows, maybe in the future something, maybe we can live closer to each other. I don't know how or when, but that'll be like better than being 6 years, I mean, 6 hours apart.
6 hour flight away.
6 hours apart.
I mean, yeah, sure.
No?
I mean, yeah, 6 hours apart. It's like, is that a time zone? What is that?
No, it's like this.
Yeah, it's like on the opposite sides of the country.
Yeah. So how do I deal with that guilt? Is I communicate it to my sister and I tell her, listen.
It's hard because like, what can you do?
Yeah, we move here.
But you keep in touch, like you call her.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I could do better is FaceTime more so the kids just see me more often.
Yeah, I think that could be a good thing. And then also just, I mean, yeah, it's a 6 hour flight, but I think if we maybe just plan the trips more frequently throughout the year, maybe like next year we can try to make that a point to go to Seattle. I don't know, like, 3 times, and if we book the flights in advance, then there will be a little bit cheaper, even though like the flights are weirdly expensive. Like a flight to Seattle around Thanksgiving is the same price as I paid to go to Bucharest.
Damn.
Like coming up now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's also a thing.
But when I first read this question, I was thinking more so moving away from Belgium and moving.
Well, yeah, because I guess like in your case, your dad is also there too.
And, you know, to be honest, like there's not much guilt I feel because I know that I'm here for
what you're supposed to be here for.
Yeah, I truly feel like I'm supposed to be here and it's only going to be better for my career.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately is what my dad, my parents, my mom, everybody wants the best for me. So even they understand that this is best for me. It's not like they're thinking, oh, you left us behind.
Yeah.
They don't make me feel bad.
I wouldn't say my family makes me feel bad either, but and even though they are in Seattle, so you could say even though from here to Belgium is almost like a 6 hour flight. Or a little bit more. But either way, I do feel a little bit guilty sometimes just because my siblings are also in Seattle and they all kind of always hang out, you know, together and I'm not there. But then at the same time, I would say I don't know, I've gotten used to being away from my family. I don't know if that sounds like bad, but I just have gotten used to it. I was away from my family, like, almost half of my life where I was doing my own thing, either like at the ballet school or like living here.
Yeah, or, it's normal to you know, me too.
I just kind of have become a little desensitized from that, I guess.
Yeah.
And not that my family is not important to me, but I also think that something in me is like, this is not that big of a deal. But then I will probably feel differently, you know, once we have kids of our own and they, you know, don't spend a lot of time with like my siblings. So like their aunt and uncle or my parents, their grandparents, like, I don't know, things, how we feel might change. The guilt might get harder.
Yeah. When I left Belgium, I remember just thinking I didn't have any guilt at all. Like I was so excited to leave, actually.
It was different. And, I mean, you were younger.
Also too, just like my ambition to be away and achieve something new and challenge myself was greater than, oh, I'm going to miss mom and dad.
Yeah,
like I never had that from day one.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. I'm 25. Should I focus on my career or travel? I've never left the U.S.
You should 100% leave the U.S. And who says you can't focus on both? You can focus on your career and travel.
How would someone do that?
What do you mean? I don't know like what their career is, but like...
Well, if you didn't start your career yet and you have some money saved up, I would definitely encourage traveling and leaving the country because you'll just learn so much by just seeing different cultures.
I just think if there's a will, there's always a way. Like if you want to travel and you really should like go to a different country.
I think you should travel before focusing on your career because if you focus on your career, when are you going to travel?
But also why are we acting like traveling is such a big... I just think like traveling for, you know, a week.
Yeah, I don't know if she's talking about like... Or he's talking about...
traveling like long term.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but that's what I'm saying, where I don't think it needs to be the extreme of like either traveling and I'm living a nomadic lifestyle where I don't have a home and I just like travel here and here and here for like 3 months.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be such a big commitment. The same way I feel like if you want to focus on your career, it also doesn't have to be that and you never leave the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like yeah, I have friends who are young in their 20s and you focus on your career, but then you also find the time to like travel.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of taking a vacation for a week to be somewhere in the US, you buy a plane ticket and you go somewhere outside of the country.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And that doesn't take away from you focusing on your career. You know, you need to take time off at some point.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. Recommendations for managing binge watching and doom scrolling.
Yo, you know, it gets us all. Like doom scrolling.
Even if you set your settings to have like a daily limit.
Oh, like on screen
your phone.
Time.
I had that shit for a minute and they give you the option to say like never mind or like ignore. And I hit ignore for like months. And my daily limit that you set for me was 2 hours.
I don't know how you do that though, because usually to like bypass it, you have to put in the password.
Well, I don't know, babe, but I was just bypassing that shit.
I don't know. I think the best
way. We still struggle with that.
Yeah,
so.
I'd have no remedy. Like I'm myself battling with.
Yeah, managing
with
for binge watching. I mean, I don't mind if you binge watch WTJ podcast. I don't mind that. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. Honestly,
we're figuring it out too.
Yeah. If someone out there got an answer, please let us know in the comments because we're going to read that shit. Okay, next question. Do you see yourself living in New York while having kids? How would that be?
Yeah, so since we did say that we were thinking of living in New York like longer term, we are going to try to have kids while we're living here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel confident in that. I see, especially the neighborhood we live in, there's kids everywhere. People have this idea that like nobody lives in New York and has kids. I don't know what they're talking about. They've never been in like the neighborhood-y Brooklyn areas.
Yeah.
Maybe in Manhattan, downtown, you won't see people with strollers. That's true.
There's a lot of kids here, yo.
But there's so many kids here. There's so many kids that live in our building, all of our neighborhood. They're everywhere. Especially, I think, in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to just like move around with your kids outside. You're not like in the car and stuff.
Right.
So in that sense, like clearly it's doable. And clearly not all these people are like millionaires and billionaires and shit like that. Like these people aren't normal. You know, obviously you need to make a certain amount of money to be able to afford like living here, paying for rent, childcare. Everyone's setup and situation is different.
Yeah.
But I doubted that everyone that has kids in New York, let's say like in a nice-ish area, but not like the best area, is like insanely rich. That's absurd. But you know, everyone also makes do with like what they have. And it depends like how much you give up certain things to be able to live here, to be able to still enjoy certain things about the city while having kids. So our plan is to have kids while we're in New York. Definitely like the first few years. Also, when your kid is like where they are, it doesn't really matter because they're babies, like they're young.
Yeah.
You know, so the first like 3, 4, even 5 years, like I can see that being doable. Once they start going to school and stuff like that, I don't know, because that's when you start actually looking at like, okay, what district are we in? Like, what's the public school like?
Yeah.
Because I do believe in public school. I'm not necessarily like, oh, my kid has to go to private school.
Yeah.
Especially because that's a lot of money.
I mean, it's different now than the public school you know. I feel like public schools in New York is very different than public school in like Romania or Seattle.
Okay.
And you do want your kids to go to, you need to be in a safe district. You need to feel, when a kid goes to school, you want to feel like it's a good school. You don't want to send them to a school that's
well,
like.
No, no. That's why I'm saying like living in a neighborhood with a good school matters more later when they start going to school.
Of
but in
course.
The first few years,
yeah,
doesn't
no.
matter. Like when they're 2 years old, like what, like they're just at home anyways.
Yeah, they're homeschool.
Just no school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the plan.
I think I can answer this question too. I definitely think we can have kids here and we want to.
Yeah.
Eventually, at some point, we're going to upgrade to a second bedroom. Mm-hmm. That is the plan. Whether we stay in the same building or move somewhere else, but I do love this area of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But there's also other areas in Brooklyn that are great.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, Brooklyn is huge.
And how would that be, which is the second part of this question?
There's no way to know until you
there's
are
no
there.
Way. We're trying to ask people, on which we still haven't done.
I've done.
You talk to someone who has a kid and
yeah, I told you. I was like talking to this couple that has two kids, a one-year-old and a two-month-old.
Oh, right. That's like a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I was in a coffee shop and they were there with their two-month-old. And then I was like, I'm sorry. Do you mind if I ask you, what is it like having or raising a kid in New York? And we ended up talking for like an hour.
Damn.
And I was with my friend Carolina, and we kept, and she wasn't there when I first asked. And then when she came back into the coffee shop, she just knew immediately what we were talking about. And we just ended up talking. And I mean, we can maybe like have another episode about that.
Yeah, let's do another
one. But overall, like, it was very encouraging hearing what they had to say. You know, because if you live in New York and you have kids in New York, is because you're choosing to.
Yeah.
And that means that you're making it work.
Because if you have kids in New York, you have kids anywhere.
Exactly. Like having, and there's benefits to having kids in a city versus like in the suburbs where you're dependent on a car and different things like that. You know, it's like, it also depends on every person.
Yeah. Okay, next question. What does a day in a life look like for you two as content creators?
Okay.
Let me go first.
Can we talk about the last week, what it's looked like.
You wake up in the morning, and usually in our case, there's one that's the planner and the calendar person. And then there's the other one who kind of just like, which is me. I know what I got to do. It's in my brain. It's not written down anywhere. And I just get up and get to that right away. So you get your coffee, we eat breakfast together.
Okay.
And
I feel you're painting the wrong picture.
Oh, why?
Because usually the day in the life looks like this. I wake up. I'm like, babe, good morning.
Okay.
Wake up.
So you wanted to say that you wake up before me. That's fine.
And then Yoni doesn't wake up for another probably like 30 minutes to an hour after I wake up, which is fine. I get up, brush my teeth.
Congratulations.
Get ready.
Everybody take a moment to clap it up for Allie.
No, I'm just saying this is what a day in the life looks like if you want to be real. And okay. Then I wake up and I start. The first thing I do is obviously brush my teeth, all that. And then I make breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I make my breakfast. I'm eating my breakfast.
When you open up your computer, what's the first thing you go to when you're ready
my
to work?
My emails.
Your email.
Yeah. I go to my emails and then I go to my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could not live without my calendar. So I always look at my calendar, see what's up over there. And then Yoni wakes up or right. gets up, sorry.
But looking at the calendar, that's usually when the potential stress can arise.
I mean, yeah, but also I have to look at the calendar to see like where we at, what are we doing?
Do you have a to-do list?
I haven't used it because I haven't used it in like, I want to say the whole last month because I feel like even just having the to-do list is more work. So I've just been coming off the top of my head. Like, I just know what I have to do.
Yeah. I think for me, it's pretty much...
And then we basically just work. And then after I finish breakfast, like, I'll make myself a coffee. And then I'm just working. And then I work all day.
We do be working all day, like, way past the 9 to 5.
Yeah.
The one thing that I do want to change in the way we do things, and we can stay. I feel like we haven't been outside. Like, we'd be at home.
Okay. I think it's hard to answer this question right now, realistically, because we are in, like...
Crunch time. Yes,
crunch time, as if it's, like, end of project. Yeah. Like, we have to hand in
We do
in
this every
something.
Time we travel. Yes.
Yeah. So...
But one thing I do want to change is... And I know we said that the moment you wake up, you kind of, like, your brain is so fresh that you're just ready to get to work right away.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's going to be so important... And it is so important to do the gym first.
I'm still not convinced, you know, because I do like an afternoon workout. Like, I like a 5 p.m. workout.
How do you feel energy-wise at 5 p.m.? Where
good.
Are you?
Energy-wise, I'm ready to, like, move my body.
At 5?
Yeah. I've been sitting down all day. Like, I need to, like, get physical a little bit. And it's a nice way to break up the day because I'm like, I've been working and it's a good, like, the workout signifies transition from work day to my day. Because then you come home, then you shower, and then you make dinner, you know? Yeah. If I work out in the morning, I feel like I need to, like, take a nap after I work out.
That's fine. You can take a nap.
Yeah.
You can take that 3 to 5 nap.
No, I'm saying if I work out in the morning, like, I just woke up.
Okay.
And then I eat breakfast, and then I work out, and then I come home, and then what am I going to do? Take a nap at 10 a.m.?
Oh.
If I work out in the morning, like, after I work out, I'm, like, tired. And then after I work out, you want me to sit down and, like, work?
That's interesting. Okay.
And I don't know, something about it too. It's like, okay, I just worked out. Then I need to shower. Then I need to get dressed. Then I need to take my post-workout shit. Then I need to eat a snack after my workout, get that protein in. And I feel like I'm just like, you know, and then I have to sit down and get to work. I don't know.
Okay, next question. How do you hunt a good and affordable apartment in such a large city?
Be patient. Stay with a friend or sublet. So
when
you don't
have
to. We
first moved to New York, this is what we did. We stayed with a friend. We didn't even have an apartment yet.
We actually stayed in a hotel first for a week.
Oh, and then?
And then we found an apartment, and then we stayed with a friend until we moved in for like a few days.
Oh, wait. Was that the order?
Yeah. We stayed in a hotel in the Lower East Side.
That hotel and that time specifically, you moved to New York with all your stuff. We didn't know where we were going to live. We just knew that. This is crazy. It's like we have 2 weeks or however long, realistically.
Yeah.
But preferably not 2 weeks. The sooner the better.
I think what we should have done is subletted a place for like a month or something. But
anyways, we got to this hotel, and that hotel specifically.
Every time I walk by, I think about it.
No, but I also remember a specific feeling.
Yeah, no, me too.
Like about the coffees that we would get downstairs.
Because it was like an included coffee pastry thing.
Yeah, and when I close my eyes, or if I walk by it, I remember that time how like we were pretty stressed.
Oh, I cried. I like, cried at that coffee shop downstairs because I was so just like anxious. And
yeah, I remember.
Go ahead.
You're probably good to say the same thing.
I was going to say, remember I cried because I was editing a video from when I was in Romania, which was right before that. And I was editing a video to put out of like my time in Romania. And
what did you see?
I saw my family and I was editing just a video, and it took me back to how nice it was to be like, you know, in the countryside and the grass and the sun. And it's such a contrast for how stressed I was.
But then
for
also
an
it was something, it was a specific scene that you were editing and you saw your mom there.
Oh, was it?
And then you looked at me and your eyes were like teary a little bit. And then you were like, I miss my mom. And then you started like crying. And I felt that.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, you just want a hug from your mom.
Yeah, no, it really was like that.
Yeah, so.
So basically,
that's what
our lesson was that I would recommend to find a place where you can sublet for like a month or two. Give yourself time. That way you can also get to like know the areas a little bit.
For people who don't know what a sublet is that you basically, it's like renting someone's home while they're in a different country or out of town.
Yeah, and it's not like a hotel, so it's a proper home.
Yeah, so everything is furnished and whatever.
Okay, let me read a few questions real quick.
Okay, cool. And also, too, do not move to a city without knowing where you're going to live. This is what we did, and we do not recommend because that is high stress levels.
Okay, what accessory are you currently obsessed with?
Accessory right now, my wedding ring.
Oh, babe.
I'm obsessed with that thing. I look at it every day.
You're so cute. Like, I mean, damn. Now I can't not say my wedding ring. Like, I like my wedding ring too.
I look at that shit and I'm just like, I'm really married.
Oh.
That's
it. I do like my wedding ring. And I was going to say in response to this, I am obsessed with jewelry right now. I feel like every time I go to like a thrift store, vintage shop, flea market, whatever, I'm just on the hunt for jewelry.
Okay, interesting.
I've been having fun with jewelry.
Okay.
Someone said, does content creation make enough money to sustain a family and save up for the future?
Depending on how long you've been doing it, depending on how many people like it.
Yeah, like what your engagement is and stuff. But I can confidently say that content creation can make a lot of money. Like there is the way that marketing is done nowadays is companies and brands are putting influencer marketing at the forefront of so much of what they do. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's only grown, like growing much more and more.
Like,
so
brands want to work with content creators before they work with
before they like put something on a billboard.
Yeah,
because
they know they influence.
Yeah, exactly. Like a billboard, how many people will actually like, you know, they see the billboard, and it's like, okay, cool, I saw it, nice. But with the content creator thing, like, people interact with it differently, and it's just an ever-growing industry. So you can absolutely make enough money to sustain a family and save up for the future, 100%. Somebody asked, how did you find your style? I've been struggling with that.
Style? This is something I think I just woke up and...
I think you have to just try. I think you have to. Oh my god! I think you have to try things. I think you have to try things. I think also style is ever changing, because what you thought was stylish even a year ago, you might be looking at it and you're like, "Damn, like, I don't know about this. Like, why was I wearing that?"
Especially for you, you change quite often.
I would also say, like, I don't know. To me, it's also like the body image thing is like what fits me, what doesn't. Wanting things to fit that would just never fit, like. I don't know.
Would you say that every year you have a different aesthetic?
I think it's... No. I would say like the last... Like this past year and the year before, it's been pretty consistent. Like I haven't changed that much. If anything, I've just been like adding more things to the repertoire.
I feel like the older you get, the more settled you are in your style.
Yeah. I think it comes with age for sure.
Yeah. Me, I don't think I'll change my style at all.
I think you might discover like new accessories or new things, but like the general probably. Idea will stay pretty similar. And I feel like I don't know, I can confidently say I feel the most not doubtful of my style now than I have before. Like that's I used great. To be doubting like what I like. Do I like it? Do I not? Like, you know, whatever.
That's good. I feel like I definitely see the confidence in you now these days, and I like it. It's you know, someone that's confident, it's very attractive to me.
Of course.
You know, it's very important.
So if you're struggling with finding your style, I say try things. I say also maybe make it a point to take mental notes on like people on the street. When you see someone with a nice outfit, it's like, why do I like that outfit? You know, it's like, do I like the pants? Do I like the silhouette? Do I like the color combo? Do I like the materials? Maybe like watch some like fashion videos online. I feel like, you know.
See, but this is interesting. This is something, when I want to find something, I don't search the web.
But you already are establishing your style.
Yeah, I know. But like I don't search the web to find things to then, I don't want to say copy, but copy things and.
Yeah, but there's people that don't even know what they like.
But I know what I like.
That's what I'm saying. So if you don't know what you like how can you, you need to expose yourself to numerous things to be like, I kind of like that. I kind of don't like that. Because there's fashion people. There's like fashion girls that make content online on YouTube specifically that I watch their videos, and there's things that they, you know, like style or put together or talk about that I like, but there's also things that are just not me that I think, actually, I don't even think this looks good, but that's my style. But that's the point, is to like be able to recognize what you like and what you don't and why.
So it's kind of like searching what else is out there.
Yeah, like if you're not exposing yourself to fashion and to clothing and to these types of things, how will you know? It's kind of the same thing also with like interior design stuff. It's like you have to just expose yourself to things to see, like, I kind of like this style and I kind of don't like that.
So would you say I should do more of that? Because I never do that.
No, but you know what you like already.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody asked me, what are my favorite cookbooks? First one that comes to mind is Molly Boz's cookbooks, either the first or the second. They're both good. I have both. So
My favorite cookbook is Benny Blanco's Open Wide.
Okay, Yoni has not cooked one thing from that book, so I don't even know.
But it's my favorite book. I'm just answering the question, babe.
Okay, somebody asked, do you and Yoni experience racism or funny stares in or outside of the country as an interracial couple?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
I would say when we went
I noticed it.
When we went to Korea, we got that quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, but not because
it was more directed to Yoni.
Yeah, it was not because it's an interracial couple. It's because I'm black and I'm in Korea. It's like, what are you doing in my country? But I never took it. I didn't get offended by these things. Okay, I'm confident in who I am. I love being African. I love my skin complexion. I'm very proud, and I wouldn't want to be anything else.
As you should.
I don't care how much. If someone said, Yoni, I have $1 billion for you, and you can be this color, I said, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay?
So that's how I truly feel. So when I go somewhere and I get a weird stare, it's kind of just like, I wouldn't want to be you.
Yeah.
I don't say that in a mean way, mm-hmm. but I'm just like, I treat everybody how I would love to be treated. I don't care if you're white, black, whatever color. To me, you're a human being. And if you're cool, I'm cool. Right?
Yeah.
So racism, I definitely experienced that in South Korea. But it wasn't even racism.
No, it was funny stares.
It was just like when people look at me weird.
Yeah,
or
it was funny stares for sure.
Yeah, in Japan, I got that a little bit too. But I feel like in Japan, it was more admiration. Like, ooh, I love your hair. I love your locks. Or like I went into a store, this guy was like, ooh, cool hair.
But that happened in Korea too. It was like the younger the younger guys in Korea, I think, said that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like the older Korean men that would like look at Yoni and just like not even trying to hide it, just staring at
him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember he was in the train one time. But that stuff, it's like,
yeah,
like it's fucked up. But I'm so used to if that happens, it's like it doesn't stay with me. I don't think about it. I don't go home and be like, oh man, that old guy looked at me. Like, I don't care.
We didn't have any, you didn't experience anything like that in Lisbon, did you? Or like
Portugal? Didn't experience anything like that in Portugal.
There's a lot of diversity there,
at all.
Though.
Yeah.
There is a lot.
Like, if anything, people thought that I could be Portuguese or Brazilian or whatever. You know what I mean?
In Copenhagen, even though there's like not a lot of diversity, if at all.
I haven't seen one black person in Copenhagen.
No, there was one. There was one.
There was one? Okay.
When we were like, on the canal, remember?
When you can count them, that's how you know it wasn't a lot.
But I don't think anybody was like looking at you any type of way.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
But I was just like really standing out.
Yeah. But I don't think anybody made you feel that you were standing out. You know what I'm saying?
No,
nobody. Just were the only one.
Yeah, nobody made me feel that way at all. But racism in general still exists.
Yeah, I mean, even in Romania, people will look at Yoni weird.
Yeah, because I'm tall, black, and then got like locks and shit, and you know, people are just like, maybe
sometimes it's just looking because it's like,
are they just fascinated?
Just not expect to see that.
I mean, yeah, when we went to Romania, when we went to Provița, it was this countryside that even people from Romania don't know what Provița is.
Well, that, but also the people that live there have never, like, there's so many people that have lived there their entire lives, in the country, and they've never left. In the country where, like, you exchange milk for eggs type of thing.
Yeah, like in a country where it's like there's one house and then you got to walk not a mile, but like the houses are not like packed together. It's like, well, there's one house here and then down the road there's another house with some cows outside.
Exactly.
So that type of country. So they've never seen a black person in real
life. No, pretty much.
So when they saw me,
they're just kind of like, what are you doing here?
But also,
like,
too,
how did
like,
you get here?
Yeah. I don't know what they were thinking.
Probably that.
Remember one time when we went to the little city, like the little town of the countryside? That's where people go shopping for things,
like,
right?
Like you go to the piazza.
Oh my goodness. I will never forget that. The way people were looking at me, I went back in the car and sat with grandma. I was just like, you know, I'm just going to wait here.
Yeah.
That's the only time I would say I really felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because it was everybody. I felt like they just saw like Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, somebody asked, how do you find true community in New York City when it could feel like a transactional city? Which I would say, though, that would, I don't think New York City is as transactional as people imagine, but I also think we just aren't in those types of spaces as much. Maybe you, but not so much me.
Let's define transactional city.
Where somebody, like, you're meeting people and you can just tell they only want to meet people for what they can offer them. Like, you're having a conversation with someone, you can just tell based on, like, the things they ask you, the things they talk about. They just care about what you do and how you can be of help to them.
And who you know.
Yeah. And I think you can easily, like, weed those people out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I would do. Like, even at content creator events, things like that, if you can just tell when someone's that way. And I leave the conversation, like, I'm done. But not everybody's that way. Absolutely not.
Well, you don't leave the conversation. You kind of just like stick it out, but then you're not following up the next day. Like, it was nice to see you.
I'm not going to become friends with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody said finances. What helps you be able to travel so frequently?
Go to work.
Well, I would say one thing that I think people don't maybe realize is like when we travel, but up to before even Yoni started making his YouTube videos, I pretty much have made videos for every single travel trip that I've been on ever since I started YouTube. So for the last 5 years. And because of that, that is like my work, that's my job, that's my business. And I expense the trip. So the trip is work, even though like it's a vacation and we're traveling and we get to see new places. I make a video, and the video and the traveling and all that, you expense it on your taxes. And those are like basically the only travel, the only business expenses I get to have, which are really important to have, because like at the end of tax season, it's like you got to pay taxes. And as a business, like you have expenses.
Yeah.
You know, like equipment, things like that, and also flight tickets and different things. So it's kind of like part of my work. If that makes sense. And now for Yoni too, with, you know, making his videos and just like photography and stuff, it kind of works pretty much the same way.
Yeah. With my videos, I mean, I feel like anywhere I would go, whether it's alone or both of us, like if I choose to go to the UK, obviously I'm going to make a new POV video in London. And
That is work.
And that's why I'm there for.
And that is also investing money back into your business. Even though from the outside, it might look like we're just traveling for fun. It is fortunate that we get to kind of mix the two, which is the beauty of working for yourself in this type of job.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's also why I have never traveled in the last 5 years without like working on my travels. Yeah. So, you know. Somebody asked, would I ever run a full marathon? Probably not. Somebody asked...
Wait, can I answer? These are questions for both of us.
Oh, I mean, would you ever run a full marathon? You haven't run a half.
No. I just wanted to answer.
I mean, I also know you would never run.
No, but it's kind of like, I like the invite, even though I know I wouldn't.
Would you ever run a half?
No.
Okay. What do you guys think of apps becoming similar to each other, like Instagram? Sorry. Like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, almost all the same.
I don't mind it. I know a lot of people dislike it, but the new feature on Instagram where you can repost someone else's post on your feed, which meaning that all your followers will see someone else's content. I think it's great. The way we do it is we keep it in-house. So I won't be retweeting anyone else's content.
Isn't it funny the way you said retweeting?
Yeah, reposting anybody else's content unless it's our What's the Juice podcast or Alia's content.
Yeah, or same here. But
because that is essentially, that's like promotion.
Yeah.
And we've worked hard on the audience that we've built together and individually. And I mean, when you think about it, that's real work. It's like you had to...
Of course.
...put in time to make this, to grow this, whatever. So I'm not just going to repost something from... I mean, I don't know. Is it a big deal like that? Maybe I'm taking it too seriously.
I'm kind of over it. Like, I'm done with Instagram implementing every single thing that all the other apps have, just because from like a business standpoint, I just know. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily going to become like a thing, but it's just It's another thing to like worry about. What I meant is, I don't know if now like brands are going to take into consideration like how many reposts does this have? Maybe.
No.
Or like maybe brands asking you to like, oh, you have to repost this to your feed. Like, I'm gonna say no, regardless. But
it's a different feed. I know.
And TikTok has had this feature for like a long time. So it's just kind of like all the apps are just kind of becoming. I would say YouTube is still staying true to itself, even though it has YouTube Shorts. Like, I don't know who watches YouTube Shorts.
Out of all these social media things, I love YouTube the most because I feel like. YouTube is not going anywhere. They don't change things that much.
They still kept the original idea as it is.
Right. And then the one thing, I feel like this could be like another, like a whole YouTube, I mean, podcast episode, and we can just talk about YouTube. Because I think that long form, to me, it's becoming my favorite type of content to consume.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're watching something that someone made and put in time. It's a piece of... I don't know.
It's a piece of work.
Yeah, it's a piece of work. It's not something that someone just
generates
quickly,
like over the
quickly,
turnaround. Yeah,
yeah. Quickly scroll by, like you in the elevator. You look at. I would hate for someone to just scroll past my shit fast like that.
Yeah,
like, when
exactly.
you go on a Yoni Koto video, I want you to sit down, get a snack or something, maybe even pull it. I love when people like post a video and then they show how they're watching on a TV or like mm-hmm. a projector. That means that it's a moment out of their day.
Yeah. And they're sitting down with it.
Yeah.
And they're eating it all. It's not like
it hits different.
It's not like a tasting menu where you take a bite out of everything
on
and you
the
also
next.
Barely even taste it until you eat the other thing.
And with short form, it's quickly forgotten. I mean, by the time they swipe your video, they already
yep.
It's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I like YouTube. We're gonna stay there.
Someone said, "How do you refer to your husband without saying husband all the time?" We already answered that at the beginning, but I call him by his name, Yoni. Or sometimes I say my partner.
Wait, I don't understand that question. How do you refer? Are they asking like, why aren't you? Or how?
I don't know what they're trying to say. How do you refer to your husband without saying husband all the time?
Just say their name.
Yeah. It's like, is that crazy?
Like, how else could you do that?
Yeah. But I think it's because like that they can see, like whenever I do say my husband in like a piece of content, there will always be someone in the comments saying, "You're married? What? When did I miss?" Like, I literally just posted something on TikTok.
What did I miss?
And then someone was like, "I missed the whole chapter." Someone asked, "How does gender roles affect your marriage?"
Gender roles. Okay, our level of communication, honestly, I would say it's been great from the beginning. And we established how we want to run things and how we want to do what we think. We shared both of our perspectives early on.
Yeah. And I think we just naturally have our strengths and we just follow those. So it's not so much like on a gender basis. It's more just on a strengths basis. Like, what are your strengths? What are my strengths? Like, my strengths are to cook. So I cook much more often than Yoni does.
My strength is to clean.
Yeah.
And I clean.
You do. And you take out the trash. I would say that's one thing. Yoni takes out the trash. I hate taking out the trash. And that's stereotypically the gender roles, if you want to say. So,
but that's okay. That's fine. That. Like, maybe there's a reason for that.
And you clean the toilet because...
Yeah.
Because you clean the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Fuji or Sony for digital photos and video? Need opinions.
Sony all the way.
Yeah, we're a Sony family over here.
Yeah, we're a Sony family and a Leica family.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, Sony for photo.
For digital, yeah.
Yeah, for digital, honestly, you go with Sony. I don't know if you're into photography or video, but
they said both.
The Sony Alpha series is great. That's what we use to film these episodes.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather bike, take the metro, taxi, or bus?
Where are we going?
Does it vary city from city? Why? I mean, I would say if I can bike and if it's safe and fun to bike in wherever I am, I will bike first before anything, especially if it's like a new city.
I will bike any time.
Yeah. And then the next thing after that is
faster.
Definitely like the metro. I don't like, for some reason, I don't like buses.
We haven't gotten on a bus in New York yet.
I know, I've gone on it like maybe once.
How is it?
I mean, it's a bus. It's like any other bus, but something about it I don't like. It's as if anybody can get on at any time, which like the subway is the same, but something about it feels more safe to me. I don't know. But I've heard some people say like the bus is so underrated and I believe it. But it's like if I can take the bus, I'll take a bike. You know?
But think about it. If you get on a bus, there's no way a crazy person can get on it, like on a subway. On a
That's
subway,
true.
If you're stuck in a car with someone who's crazy or like weird, you're stuck with them.
True. Okay. Somebody said, how many years have you been together? And out of those years, how many have you been married?
We've been together since 2021, November 18th, to be specific.
Yeah, we've been married since.
We've been married since, but we've been together since 2018.
So together for 7, married for 4.
Yeah, and it's been the best time of my life.
Okay, somebody asked.
Wait, has it been the best time of your life?
Yeah, it's been the most amazing time of my life.
Ever.
I'm trying to be to keep rapid fire. Okay, Brooklyn versus Manhattan life.
Brooklyn in the house.
Oh, I think maybe they're asking like the difference. I honestly truly love living in Brooklyn. It's amazing. It's so the perfect level of everything because you have the quiet, you have the simple life. But you also can get to the city so fast and be in the hustle and bustle of things. But I don't know if I would necessarily ever want to live in... I would not ever want to live in Manhattan again. Because
no.
Why would you? Because you can get there so quick from Brooklyn. Obviously, it depends where in Brooklyn you are. But then also, it's just like so much more expensive and you can get so much less
so much lessons for so much more.
Like the same, you can have the same rent and half the space.
Yeah.
And half the amenities. Like it's just stupid.
It's crazy. I think at that point, it just comes down to priorities, you know?
Yeah. And just like wanting to be in the city, which like.
We lived in the city before, which I'm glad we did the first year we moved. We lived in Nolita, which is the middle.
Literally the middle of the city.
Yeah. And it was great. It was nice. Everybody remembers our first apartment. Everybody remembers how small that shit was.
You guys don't actually understand how small it was because you've never got to be in it. But I was just looking at some film photos earlier today. And it's actually insane how small that apartment was. And the craziest thing is that my mom and my sister visited us and they stayed with us in that apartment. Four people in that apartment is crazy.
Yeah, but we were there and that apartment has like a special place in my heart because that was our first apartment in New York City and it's such a classic story.
No, it is. What is your least favorite thing about New York?
My least favorite thing about New York is how loud it is sometimes.
It is loud.
It's loud. I mean, people blast their music, police, ambulance. Traffic.
Construction.
Yeah, that's my least favorite part about New York. And then also, too, like, just the crazy, sometimes, like, the crazy people here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the fact that you can get on the train and someone can do something to you.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're, like, wrong time, wrong day, wrong place... Shit like that happens to people. It never happened to us. And that's likely to... It doesn't happen every... Well, I'm sure it happens every day, but obviously not to you because that would be crazy. It's a big city.
Yeah.
But I'm saying there's crazy people who get on the trains every single day. And if anything, anytime before I get on a train, I look to see if there's anybody in there that's like mentally ill.
No, of course. Yeah. And you gotta watch out for this. Is anybody wearing weird? Yeah, you gotta check.
Yeah, like you can be next to someone who's mentally ill and they can literally do something to you.
Yep.
So that's my least favorite part before the traffic shit.
Yeah, I would say that too. But just to add, I would also say just like this group of people that think that they're so like, they just take themselves so seriously and they think they're like so cool and so like, ooh. I mean,
that's like that can't make the list of least favorite things. It's whatever.
Yeah. I mean, what would you say? I would just put that like right under what you just said. Personally.
People who take themselves too seriously.
Like when you walk on the street, you just see these people that think they're so like, oh my god, I live in New York, and like, ooh, outfit. It's like, just relax.
Ooh, outfit.
Okay, somebody said, what is your favorite meal to eat at home?
My favorite meal to eat at home is any meal that Alia makes.
Oh, man.
Because for the last few weeks.
Yeah, I've been in my cooking bag.
She's been in her cooking bag.
Yeah, I've been cooking for real.
I feel like I live with a chef.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been killing it. I would say, well, since I'm cooking, I would say my favorite meal to cook at home is anything that has to do with some sort of sauce. And then it will either be with rice or with pasta.
And Alia loves tomatoes. I actually think about getting a tomato tattooed on me because it just reminds me of you.
Yeah.
You really love tomatoes.
I was going to get a tomato tattoo.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Is it real that after some years of marriage, you don't feel the same love to your partner?
That's not true at all. Are you crazy?
Fake news.
That is not like how I feel about Alia now is probably stronger than it's ever been before because I get to know her as the year go on and the older we get.
It gets better. It's like it ages like fine wine.
It gets better with age because at first, yes, there's the honeymoon stage and stuff like that. You're all in love, but you don't really know the person.
But like we're still in love that way though.
But let me finish.
Okay.
So, but you don't know that person yet. But as you go to like year one, two, three, you know them more, which makes me fall in love even more with you because it's like, damn, you're really my person. And then when you get married, it's like, I feel like it just went to a whole other level.
And then past, like, you've been married for, like, several years, too. You're just getting that much closer. You get to know each other so well.
Yeah.
And getting to be your whole self all the time.
Because we are truly ourselves.
Yeah. And then that person loves you for who you are. It's, like, the most beautiful thing.
Even for the weird things that you do at home.
Yeah.
It's like no one sees what we see from each other. Like,
yeah.
like the weird things sometimes. Like,
yeah, I mean, don't make it weird by saying weird things.
Not like weird things. I mean, like maybe I might like make a weird sound.
Okay, that's not that weird. It's more just, yeah.
Like I might sing like really ugly. Nobody knows that I do this stuff.
True.
Only you know.
Okay. What do you two mostly argue about?
I would say getting started with recording the podcast.
Yeah.
Setting up the podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes I want to do two episodes back to back and Allie is tired after the first one. Sometimes I want to do three back to back and she's tired after the second one.
Wow, I love how you're just putting me under the
And sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's like the other way around. So yeah. I feel like...
Or just like me, how I've been ready for an hour to record and Yoni keeps like doing random shit and out of nowhere, he's like, wait, I need to have a snack.
Yeah, like right before recording, I go make myself a sandwich and Allie has been waiting. So it's not fair. Like, I don't like that I do that, but these are things that I'm working on and I'm sure that there's things that you are working on, but I mean nobody's perfect, so we're all just here trying to live this life and be the best we can.
I do think we argue the most about like timing things.
Yeah, it's definitely timing, and
like
I will raise my hand here and just give Alia some credit. My time management has been a long life battle.
Yeah,
and it comes in. You don't have to add to it. I'm admitting it's a very vulnerable thing to say, and you're like, yeah, it still is. Okay. I'm working on my time management. You know, I can, all the work that I have to do, all the different hats that I'm wearing, I feel like I can complete all of those tasks, especially if I'm just more punctual with my time. And gladly, this is something that I can and will get better at. And I've been better at it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. I'm working on it, work in progress. And I'm proud of the progress I've made so far. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just keep working at it.
Yo, that's messed up.
Okay, somebody said, would you ever consider going back to school to further your education, maybe pursuing culinary or photography school? I love how they think that I'm like trying to be a chef.
Can I answer first?
Yeah.
I never want to step inside a school facility or any time. I never want to step a foot in a class.
Okay, what about like photography school?
Photography school, I would like that. No, if anything, not photography school, but I would take like
a master class or something.
Definitely. I am planning on taking a master class from like some of my favorite photographers. So, and me saying no to school is not me saying I'm anti-learning or school or whatever. I just don't want to sit at home, do homework and turning papers, and I don't want
to. Yeah, and I also feel like you're at a point in your like photography career that it's like you have so much hands-on work. You're not like, you know, 19, 18, like, oh, I think I want to go to school for photography.
Yeah, no, like I went to YouTube University and it's...
And you also just have a lot of hands-on work, like you've done so much photography work for the last...
And I'm still at YouTube University. Like, I feel like I'm always learning. So a masterclass would be great, but like a school, a photography school or photography degree, I feel like it's 2025. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
If you...
I agree. There's all so much information out there.
Especially if you're in the arts.
I would definitely love to do some type of like culinary school, even though that's not really furthering my... it is kind of furthering my education, I guess. I don't know. I would love to do some type of like more serious kind of boot camp, like, I don't know, 6-week intensive, like 2-month, three-month like thing.
We could look into that and find something like that, you know?
Yeah, that would be definitely really cool. I just wonder, like, what would that look like? And then also, you could ask, like, to what end? Like, okay, what are you doing that for? I think it could also be, like, doing that for passion and for experience. And that's just such a cool thing to, like, get to do.
Yeah.
So.
And you can always learn anything about anything you're doing. I'm not saying I'm the best at photography. There's so much I still need to learn and want to learn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody asked, what is your favorite piece in your closet right now?
My favorite piece in my closet is a green vintage shirt with the number 9 on it.
Oh, on the Pensacola one?
Yeah. I like it because it's vintage and it's a very light, it's a thin shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really into like thin vintage shirt. I don't like heavy shit.
Yeah, anymore. Like you don't like a heavy cotton.
Not anymore. I used to like it because I'm like, ooh, it's good quality. like the heavier shirt.
It's so hot like, in the summer. It doesn't make sense to wear.
Yeah,
that.
But I love thin shirt, and they follow my body like pretty nicely too.
Yeah, I would say my favorite piece in my closet right now. Honestly, I mean, it's not in my closet. Can I pick a pair of shoes?
Yeah. What's your favorite shoe right now?
My favorite shoes are the loafers that I've worn all summer. I bought them for the Japan trip. They're from Peche. P-E-C-H-E. They have a store on the Lower East Side. And they were literally $90. The most simple. Everybody's always asking me where I got these loafers from, thinking they're some like fancy, expensive shit. They were $90. They were, at first, I thought not that great of quality, but I ended up wearing them so much. They're still standing. They're still looking good. And they're so comfortable. So that's probably my favorite piece in my closet right now. It's not really a piece, though. It's like my favorite something in my closet is something that I'm wearing to death.
I guess for me, it would
it's
be
not like
Doc
something
Martens.
That I'm like, oh, shit, this is like a piece. This is like so cool. You know?
What would you say my favorite shoe is?
You just said it.
No, I feel like you were talking over me, so nobody heard it.
Your Doc Martens?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can keep your shirt. You don't have to go to shoes just because I said my shoes.
Yeah. Or like my Diesel jeans.
I would say if there was a piece, you would say your Diesel jeans for sure, which is where I would say probably my James Street Co. jackets. I have two of those.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody asked, I guess it's for me.
Wait. What? My favorite piece has to be, it's a piece that I haven't worn yet.
But is that your favorite though?
The one that I got in South Korea.
Yeah, I don't know
South
if
Korea.
That's your favorite though.
Well, I haven't worn it enough to even see.
And also, I don't think you can claim it yet.
Yo, I bought this shit in the summer and I've been just waiting for fall to get here because that's going to be my jacket.
Yeah, like
day.
You bought it in April and you haven't been able to wear it until now.
I hope I still like it.
Yeah, that's a true test. Okay, somebody asked me, were you raised not to expect princess treatment, provider man, flowers, etc., or do you want it? So I think this person is asking this because I'm always talking about how I don't really like these types of like quote unquote princess treatment. Don't expect to be with a provider or man, whatever that means. And I think I wasn't like directly raised. Like my mom didn't sit me down and she was like, this is the type of girl you're going to grow up in. I simply just learned by example. And I think most of the women in my life, but especially my mom, and the way that she kind of, I don't know, conducted herself and her relationship with my dad, like she just always was an exemplary woman in the sense of carrying her own weight and never really relying on like my dad for anything like that. And she was just never the type to want these sort of like stereotypical feminine type of things. And she didn't like intentionally like teach us that in any shape or form, but I just learned them over time. She never made comments about expecting my dad to like give her flowers. She always told my dad like to do things on his own. She wasn't like in the kitchen cooking for her husband. That was not my mom.
Yeah.
You know? So I think I just learned
in that way. I'm a huge supportive of that, but I think for me there's one thing that is to me a little bit confusing about that whole thing.
What is it?
It's when we're talking about a man that's clearly stronger than you, helping you with a suitcase going down the stairs. I'm carrying my suitcase, for example, I don't know, and I'm already downstairs and I look at you or any other woman and their suitcase is also heavy because they're traveling. There's a lot of shit in there, right? And there's a flight of stairs, or like 20 stairs, and they are struggling to go down there. Now, I'm not saying all women struggle, but some do because shit is heavy. I get it. If you're with someone who's stronger than you, don't be so stubborn and just struggle down the stairs. And everybody can see that your man or whoever you're with is just looking at you. It almost looks the man look bad.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to help her, but he knows that he's not helping because now it got to a point to where it's like, I don't even know if I can offer help because, you know, women don't need no help.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
So I struggle with that. Not even with you. Like, I remember when I was at working at the coffee shop at the restaurant in Seattle, and then something was heavy, and I saw my coworker, which was a girl. She was struggling with carrying whatever it was. And I was like, I can literally help her right now. But I didn't ask. I didn't know what to do.
I think it's
and
kind of
it wasn't like that before. Before, I was just like, but it's two different types of women. Some are like, yo, Yoni, can you please help me? This shit is heavy. And I love that. Yeah, of course, no problem. And when I help you with that, I don't think like, oh, yeah, I can help you because I'm stronger. I don't think like that.
It's not that, though. It's hard to explain the like what happens in my mind, I would say, as a woman, because I tend to kind of...
It's not...
I'm always like, do I carry this or do I help make... I don't know, because if I have a heavy suitcase and you have a heavy suitcase... I feel like I also don't want to be that woman that's like, obviously he's going to carry both suitcases and I'm just going to be here chilling.
But we can do one at a time.
It depends of the scenario.
But what I'm saying is, I get what you're saying, but when you zoom out, I feel like a lot of men are kind of, we don't know what to do these days. Do I offer help? Does that insinuate that you're weaker than me? But maybe you are because I can see
no,
it.
No, I don't think it's necessarily in comparison to you.
No, I'm saying to anybody, if you are stronger than the woman. Some relationships, maybe the woman is stronger than the man. I don't know.
I've seen a lot of these videos circulating online of, I don't know if I sent it to you, but it's like a compilation of videos of like a couple being on vacation and like she's carrying all the bags or like she has like... the cart and the baby and everything and the guy's just like chilling on the side. Now that I don't agree with, obviously.
I don't know. I get frustrated by that because I don't...
I just want to share the load. I want to share the load. Like, I don't feel good if you're carrying everything and I'm just walking by you. I don't feel good in that.
I know, but if there's something that you cannot carry, babe, do you have the pride to struggle?
I mean, if it's something I can't carry, yeah. But then I also just feel like it depends. When we were in the airport,
I have a specific trip in mind, and I'm not gonna like mention it. But I just remember, like, I was like, it doesn't need to be this way
with me, because I've been letting you carry my shit.
No, like,
oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Which, I mean, that's like, everybody's also different. And I don't know, like, everybody's different. They're probably thinking like, Yoni already carried our bags and his bags and whatever. I don't know. All I'm saying is that in general, when I think about this, is like, maybe years ago, I was a little bit more intense with, you know, like, now, I can carry this or I can carry that. Because the assumption at the beginning was always like, oh, the guy got to open the door for you and shit like that. I'm like, who gives a fuck? Like, I don't know. In my mind, like, these things don't matter. Being the door being open for you, it's like, that doesn't tickle me in any type of way. I'm like, oh my God, such a gentleman. Like, who cares? That's not what's important. What's important to me is being a good communicator, like, not being toxic. That's the type of relationship I want to have. I don't need a relationship where chivalry is alive. It's like, I could give less of a shit about that. What does that do for me? You can be all chivalrous, but I don't know, be like a shitty person. Okay, congratulations.
Well, we can tell this is you're passionate about that, and I feel you.
Yeah, because I feel like people are fixated on like the wrong things. People are saying like,
he didn't open a door for me.
Yeah, it's like, that's what matters to you? For
he didn't pull the chair out for me to sit on.
Yeah, like, okay.
Like, you can pull your own chair. It's okay.
Like, also, you want a man that pulls your own chair, that pulls your chair, but is like, whatever? Or do you want a guy that is just like normal? Like, I don't know. These are just like old school things that in my mind don't do anything for me.
Yeah. No, honestly, I mean, you've been better with the me helping.
I mean, yeah,
carry.
When it comes to like carrying shit or like I can't reach anything like in the but cupboards and stuff. I ask you to get it.
Yeah. But I just want you also to, and I'm not saying you didn't acknowledge, but do you see what I'm saying by women holding back? Clearly, they need help, but they won't do it because they.
Yeah, because there's like, a level of like, I can do this on my own.
Yeah, but what if they can't?
But usually they can. If they can't, like, the shit will fall or they will fall or something. Like, if there were, yeah. if a woman was solo traveling on her own, she would carry that shit on her own, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, I'm asking.
I feel like I'm trying to say something bigger than that. Like there's, I don't mean that. If it's not, it's not about not being able to carry it, but needing help.
Okay.
I feel like we somehow got to this place to where it's like, I don't need help because like even I can ask for help if some shit is, I don't know, too heavy for me. Or
okay,
like, hey,
but why is this like also such a big deal for you? Like if the girl wants to struggle and lift her own shit, like let her.
Yeah, no, I do. But it's just frustrating for me as a man because I'm like, what are we doing? Like it's not that serious, but I mean, carry it.
Okay. Somebody asked how to start conversations with new people and how to make friends as an adult. I feel like how to start having conversations with people that are new and strangers is the best way is for you to have like things in your life that you can easily talk about.
Talking to strangers?
Yeah. It's like, do you play a sport? Do you watch a specific genre of movies? Do you read specific books? Like bring up random shit that you're into.
And
that
the question
will always
was
start a
how
conversation.
To talk to strangers?
Yeah, how to start conversations with new people.
Oh. I mean, a good thing is to compliment someone's
outfit.
Yeah, that's a great way to start.
Yeah, that's very true.
If I see someone, a stranger, and they have a camera, I would say, hey, what kind of camera is that? Like something like that. But to me, these things come like pretty naturally. So it's not something I think too much about.
Yeah. I mean, I would say because I was somebody that, and I still am somebody that has a certain level of social anxiety when it comes to these types of things. It's more like right before going to the event, I'm just like, I don't feel like, I'm just a little bit anxious.
Yeah.
But then once I'm there, I feel like what always helps me is the fact that I have random things that I can just bring up, like random things, yeah. As I said, from, do you cook? I just ask random questions.
Hey, what's your name? Jessica, do you cook?
No, it's like, do you read? Like, what books are you into? What's your favorite book? Like just basic shit.
I feel like
you might think that's like,
you can't start with that. That's like too aggressive.
Okay.
If I meet someone for the first time, I'm like, hey, what kind of books you read?
Okay, obviously my first question is like, how do you know so-and-so? Like, or how did you get here? Like, what's your connection to where we're at?
You've gotten a lot of practice with these things. And I'm very proud of you because you were that person who didn't know how to do this.
Yeah. No, it's always some sort of like, basically, what brought you to where we are right now?
And who do you know?
Yeah. And who do you know? And then from there, it's like, do you live in the city? Are you visiting? Where are you from? What's your background?
What do you do for work?
How long have you been in New York?
I always felt like asking people, what do you do for work?
I always wait a long time until
I don't
question.
Know why, but I feel like it's like a personal question.
Well, no, I think it's because specifically in this city, people be weird with their occupations.
I don't know. Do you feel like everybody needs to say something cool? And if you don't do something cool for
it's,
a living,
in the
you
spaces
feel...
that we're in, I do think so. Because we're not really in spaces that are sort quote unquote normal where the people like have regular 9-to-5 jobs. Most of the spaces that we end up in are people that are in some way creative. It's like, what project are you working on? Like, what are you doing right now? It's that type of shit, which I kind of hate, but I also like, it's a funny place to navigate. But
I don't ask people what they do for a living for some reason.
No, I don't ask them what they do for work
unless
for like a
me.
Minute.
Unless they ask me.
I mean, of course, if they ask me.
Most of the time, I don't even wait till people ask me. I just tell them what I do.
Oh, yeah,
no.
That's
part of my conversation.
I do not offer what I do because I just feel like it's cringe.
No, why?
To be like, I'm a YouTuber. Like, how do you just bring that shit up?
You can.
No, I usually do not talk about what I do until I'm asked.
Yeah, well, to me, it depends where the conversation goes. But usually, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just excited about what I'm doing right now. So
no,
it's like
that makes sense.
So I just want to tell people.
Yeah. Well, you guys, this is going to be the end of part one of the Q&A. We're going to move on to Patreon and we're going to continue the questions. That was about 50 of them. We tried our best to...
Oh, was that most of them?
Yeah, it was most of them.
Oh, nice.
Most of the first half.
That was fun.
Yeah. So if you want to hear more questions,
yes,
you can go over to Patreon. It's linked down in the description. You can check it out over there. You're going to say something?
I was just going to say, like, if you guys want us to do more Q&As like that, I'm down to do this shit.
Yeah, Q&As are fun.
Because with each answer, we can carry that shit and really talk about it.
Yeah, we can talk about 10 questions if we really wanted to. Give us 10. We'll talk about it for 2 hours.
Yeah. So, like, if we should do more Q&As, let us know. Because I'm here. That was chill.
Yeah, that was chill. So, thanks for tuning in, listening.
Longest episode of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why we do what we do.
This reminds me of season one.
Oh, my God.
If you were since season
why
one.
Why do we have an episode about San Francisco that was 2 hours long?
And we just talked about San Francisco.
No, that's actually crazy. I think we didn't know. We, like, didn't know how to navigate talking about a trip. That was the first time that we talked about a trip on the podcast.
But we were also just talking about it. And people loved that episode.
Yeah.
That's, if you want to hear about our San Francisco trip, go to season one. It's called San Fran or San Francisco.
No, I don't think we call it San Fran.
San Francisco, yeah.
All right, you guys. Talk later.
Talk later, guys. Thanks for hanging out. I hope this hour and a half was useful and
entertaining.
Entertaining.
And if maybe, you have more questions.
If you yeah, what?
If you have more questions, leave them in comments.
Yeah, maybe. Why not?
Or comments about what we said. I don't know. Whatever you want, say something in the comments.
I just have something for the comments for all the women out there. Do you feel what I was trying to say about the helping when you need help?
I mean,
I know you can do it, but I feel like you understood what I was saying.
Yeah, but I also think you have a thing with that. Like, it's okay.
No, I have a thing with
that. If, like, something's hard for me and I'm going to try to do it myself, like, it's also okay.
No, I don't.
Just because a man is around doesn't mean that I have to get help.
So when do I know when to offer help? Just don't offer?
So that's your thing. You just don't know whether
I'm frustrated because I don't know when to offer and when do you need it. Because sometimes it happened to me with coworkers in the past. When I offered, they were like, oh, yes, please. Thank you. And I felt so bad. Like, damn, I could offer you that shit.
Okay, but nobody's thinking like, damn, he didn't ask me for help.
No, that is sometimes that is the case. Someone is struggling and you're just standing there.
I don't know. If I'm
usually
opening,
you offer help.
If I'm trying to open a bottle and I can't open it, like, after a few tries, I'm going to give it to you and you're going to open it. But, like, immediately when I can't do it one time, you already are like, babe, I got it. And it's like, no, I got it.
Okay. Get it.
Like, I know, but you have this, like, problem with me. It's like, let me try a few times.
It's not a problem. It's not even about you. I'm talking about, like, strangers.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm on a bus or...
Yeah, but also, we don't know. Like, as women, sometimes someone's trying to help you. No, like, look, you don't know me. They want some other shit from you. Like, strangers are tricky, babe.
True. Usually, I remember one of these last flights that we had. You know how, like, on an airplane, you can take your luggage from the overhead thing?
Yeah.
And then some lady was struggling because her shit was, like... The luggage
I remember,
was
and
heavy.
I told you, help her.
And I didn't know because I'm like... Can she do it? So I was watching. I was like,
no. Of course, in that case, I would have even helped her. That's why I was like, babe, why aren't you doing anything? Because you were on the aisle seat.
I know. I was just like, I don't know. It's 2025. Like, I don't know.
Nah.
Trust me. I've done that before. And then they were like, no, I got it. That happened to me before. I've seen both sides.
Well, shit. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. I feel like it's an internal thing happening in myself that I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed this episode and I definitely want to do more Q&As. So if you want to hear more, basically the continuation of this, link is in the bio, in the description, part 2 Q&A on Patreon.
Yeah.
Coming out in a few days after listening to this.
Okay. Talk
Bye.
Later.
Bye, guys. We love you. We appreciate you. And have a good day.
Bye.